am I just jumping away from something because I can't be bothered to put the effort in?
Yeah, or because it's got hard.
Has it really just died for me? And there's no bringing it back to life. I could beat it and beat it with a stick and it's never coming back to life.
Hello and welcome to Art Juice. This is honest, generous and humorous conversations that will feed your creative soul and get you thinking with me, Alice Sheridan.
And me, Louise Fletcher.
And this is episode 136 and we're going to be talking about staying focused. Hands up. Yeah, so we're going to be talking about that. It's a subject that Louise has brought and it's great. I just love diving into things like that. So, but before we get into that, tell us a little bit about your week. What has been going on?
Well, I'm going back 2 weeks actually, because last week I was in a daze and I completely forgot to tell you one of the biggest things that had happened. And that is that I went to visit the gallery space where I'm going to have an exhibition from May till July next year. And so it'll just be my paintings. There's a very famous ceramicist who has who they're doing a retrospective of in a small gallery. And then they're having and I'm afraid I can't remember his name because he's so famous that I'm ignoramus me doesn't know who it is. I'll tell you that in future episodes. Then that they're going to get some modern contemporary ceramicists in the main gallery that they have. And then they wanted a painter and they invited me, which is really exciting. And so I went to visit and look how big it is. It's big. It's really quite big. It's only one room, one big square room, lovely walls. They've got all glass on one side, but they've got movable plinths that can make extra wall if they want it. And what was exciting was while I was there, two of my students from my very first Find Your Joy were having an exhibition and I chatted to them and they had pitched it themselves. So they had gone, made a pitch, persuaded the gallerist to take them on. I think they said they had to have a couple of meetings to convince her they could produce enough work. Then they had made all the work, framed it beautifully, and the gallery does all the hanging and they'd done a lovely job of hanging it. And I was just so proud. And then I thought in my mind, these two students were already accomplished painters when they joined my course. I remember they had a lot of talent. So it's Jackie Riding and Lynn Porter. And they're both abstract landscape artists in very different styles. But their exhibition looked absolutely beautiful. And I was so proud of them. But as I say, in my mind, I thought they were accomplished before the course. But when I got there, they were in the gallery that day, just happened. And they both said, no, it was your course was the when we found our style and when we started to make our own art as opposed to other people's. So it was just so exciting. And even there were red dots and a man came in to pick up a painting that he bought and he'd come all the way from Wales to meet Jackie after he'd bought it a few days earlier on holiday, but he came back to meet her. And it was just really exciting to see that, you know, to see them there and to think all that came out of them doing that course in 2018. And I think it was partly that they pitched it and really gone and sold themselves. And then they've got another show coming up after that, which they've pitched to someone else and put together themselves. So really impressive. That was excellent. The only bad part about my trip to the gallery was I got lost on the way there and on the way back and managed to make a 2-hour journey into like a 3.5-hour journey both ways. But I took different detours each time. So I got to see a different part of Yorkshire.
Entertaining. So Did it help you? Did it help you? Are you going to adjust what you do, what you create in order to fit the space? Because I think that's an interesting part when you've got that opportunity.
I really am. So I had already made one big triptych based on having seen a video that she sent me of the space. I wanted one big wall for this triptych, but now I've seen the space. I'm doing another really long painting that I want for a different wall. And I think it also, they're funding me to go on a trip, which I'm going on next week, to go look at the North York Moors, which is a different part of North Yorkshire where I am, and slightly different landscape, and it's right towards the coast. So they want me to go. She didn't say we want you to make paintings off here, but we'd love it if you got a sense of it and if some of that came in. And I said, that's fine, because it's the landscape I love anyway. It's moors, and, you know, it's going to be exciting for me. So I'm doing that next week. So it has, it's really inspired me, and it's kind of brought on our main topic, which we'll get to. But I've got another idea, but now I've got to do this because I've committed to this.
Dangerous things, ideas. Is it going to include sea then?
Well, that's the interest. So here's a funny thing. Well, I thought it was. So I booked us a little house in a seaside town called Stades, which is stunning, right up on the little higgledy-piggledy houses right on the coast. And then I was chatting in my studio pod to another artist who's had an exhibition there. And she was told when she did it, don't do anything of the sea. Even though we're like 7 miles from the coast, our buyers don't want sea things. They want moors, or they want things related to the moors. So she had thought, oh, rubbish, it's 7 miles from the sea. So she put sea things, and she does more traditional landscapes. She put both in, and she said it was the moor things that were successful and the sea things just sat there. So obviously they know what they're talking about. But by then I booked my sea cottage.
Oh, it's lovely. Stades is amazing. It's a lovely place to go.
I'm looking forward to it. And it's, you know, it's a few miles inland to get to where I need to be. So I do have a couple of sea paintings already that have started. So I'm going to put them in. They're abstract. Nobody will know. It could be the sky.
I think you've just got to go, haven't you? I mean, if their brief is, and what's exciting about it is that it's slightly different elements or aspects of the landscape that you love already. If you get there and you feel all G'd up by the sea, you've got to have a few sea things in it. Get there and you're like, nah, I'm all over the sea, that really doesn't do it for me, then don't have sea things in it.
Exactly. And she hasn't told me that I shouldn't have sea things. Yeah. I told somebody else a few years ago. So I'm just going to go with what I want to do.
Yeah. Oh, cool. That'd be fun to see.
What have you been up to? We had open studios.
We had open studios. So I didn't get round to making the film that I wanted to make beforehand, which is a slight irritation, but it'll be there when the work gets onto the website. But it was lovely. It was not quite as busy as the last time we did it, but there was a consistent flow. So like on Saturday, there was not a break when there wasn't anybody in the house. So I feel quite kind of peopled out.
Yeah.
I love it, but you realize what hard work it is, smiling and talking and not being able to talk when you get to the end of the day, even though it's not that much and it's at home and you're chilled. So, you know, it is quite hard work, but really, really enjoyable conversations. Lovely to meet some of you. And just some fascinating conversations. Like there was one guy, and he came along and he was talking really knowledgeably and asking really sensible questions about art. And after he'd been there for a while, I said to him, what do you do? And he said, I'm an art historian and I write books on contemporary art and how it fits in, and write articles and things. And so to get feedback and recognition from somebody like that is really, really lovely. So it was great. So I have been dealing with some shipping things. Much of it is local, getting things framed for people. And I want to give a shout out to Ollie at Depart. Depart is an artist's delivery system that works in the south of the UK. And he came and he picked up a painting, and it was delivered from London to its new owner within an hour and a half. Very happy.
Saves you driving through traffic to take it.
Or wrapping it for couriers or anything like that. On the other hand, I had an order for a big print to go to the US. And then when I looked up the shipping cost for it, DHL wanted £120 just for the shipping. So I had to write and say, I'm really sorry, but I can't sub this cost. So are we going to split it or what? So we had to cancel the order. So that's a bummer.
They didn't want to split the shipping. Interesting.
No, but I can understand it, because there's a percentage compared to the print cost.
Yeah.
That was a print, not a, you know, it's a big deal. So, but I've got something sort of up my sleeve for later in the year that I hope is going to solve that. But yeah, if you're in the US, don't buy an 80 centimeter. Small ones are fine, but those huge, great big ones, nightmare. And then I have decided to re-record some parts of the Time to Shine challenge. I've been doing that thing. This is follows into our topic, really, of this was supposed to be a small, manageable, easy thing. And then I'm putting it all into context and thinking, oh, I want to add to that bit. Oh, I want to do this bit again.
I'm glad someone else does that. Because I always say, oh, I could just add, oh, I could just make it better. We can always see what could be better.
We do. And it is, you know, actually, it's a nice thing of breathing life into something in a new way. And it's made me feel really happy about doing it again, rather than I didn't want to feel like, oh, I'm just churning out this thing. It's just a bit of a rehash. It's just going to be out there. So it's made me feel much more positive about that. So yeah, I've been working on that this week. And then I will be back in with new stuff in the studio. I'll tell you about that when it comes.
Exciting. That's a beautiful painting behind you, by the way. And that's a terrible thing to say on the radio, isn't it? Because nobody can see it. But Alice has got this big painting on the wall behind her in a studio, and it looks absolutely stunning from here. Somebody's probably just rubbish when you get up close.
No, it's not cheek.
I'm kidding. It's just when I said from here, it looks stunning. It struck me that that sounded like I'm not sure about close up. But no, it's beautiful.
No, it's lovely. It's called Water Babies, and it's really one of the ones that's it's got a lot more softness to it, which is really what I wanted to introduce in this work. So it's very kind of beautifully hazy. And
It looks like lots of translucency in parts of it, I can see. Just I'm quite away from it. But yeah, looks lovely.
Yeah, it'll get there. It'll be on the website at some point when it happens. No rush. Sorry. And Louise has just reminded me to, when does the Time to Shine challenge start? Which is a very good point. So we are going to kick off on, I think, Monday, the 4th of October. So when you're listening to this, it won't be open to sign up to. But if you're interested in finding out more, we're going to be opening it on Friday, the 1st of October, for anybody who wants to come and join us. So come over to my website, alicesheridan.com, and there will be a Time to Shine banner on there where you can add your name to the email list. Or you can go directly to soulrocketstudio.com/shine. And this is just going to be a really fun, easy 2 weeks of lovely prompts to get you out of your head and into showing up online with a whole group of other people who are just the same as you. Come and join us. Okay, so we're going to talk about staying focused, and you brought this up. So this is around a new idea then that you've had right when you need to be focusing on looking at this work. Yeah, for a show. And like, I know everybody is going to be going, "Ooh, focus, that's a problem for me. Not at all. I have that totally sorted." So what's come up? What's the situation? What's come up now?
So I'm working on these landscapes, and as you asked me if I'd thought of what I wanted on the walls, I had thought of a super long painting. I wanted a long, thin painting, really long. So I got a panel made that's 8 feet by 2 feet. So yeah, it's a whole sheet of plywood, and then it's got a cradle on the back. And
it's going to be fun to transport, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're going to have to get a long bed truck.
Andy said, I suppose I'm taking that. I was like, yep. So my plan was, this idea I've been working on small panels and on larger ones, is to make these backgrounds I've talked about, lots of texture through sanding, collage, paint, building up textures, and then using that just as a background, and then making very sweeping and gestural and quick marks on top. And that's been my focus. So I was building up the background in collage, and this happened last time as well. I started to build up the background. I started to build up all these different light tones on top of the collage, sand it back, more light tones, collage, more sanding. And it makes the most amazing surfaces that, and the first time I did it, I could feel myself getting pulled into oh, let's make something out of this. Let's do this instead. Let's not do landscapes. Let's do this. And I thought, no, I know what I'm supposed to be doing. Stick to it. So I made a big triptych landscape that I absolutely love. It might be the best thing I feel I've ever achieved so far. So I'm very happy I did that. So this time I started again. And this time the surface got much more exciting than the first time. And I could see exactly how I could move forward with it if I wanted to, in a completely abstract way. And it would be completely different than anything that I've ever done before. But this idea of sanding and creating textures, that's actually been with me since before I started the Ted Hughes project. Because on this podcast, I remember talking to you about, I've got these two ideas and I can't decide. And you said, well, try the Ted Hughes and see if it carries forward. If not, you'll go on the other one. And it did. I carried forward. And so it's been 3 years, this idea. But I had to force myself to say, no, be disciplined. Because if I make an 8-foot, completely abstract painting that doesn't belong in an exhibition or anything, first of all, where am I going to store it? Second of all, it won't even go on my walls in my house because I don't think I've got anywhere long enough for that. So, and it will go in this exhibition and it will be great. So I want to do my original vision. But I also know I want to pursue this idea. So I want to just park it and come back to it because I know I can recreate it anytime. So what I've chosen to do in the meantime is make some small ones and as kind of a side project. So I'm playing with these small panels and trying techniques, sanding things back, seeing what happens if I do this, seeing what happens if I do that, learning how to do it more effectively, but trying to keep myself focused on the pieces that I need to produce for the exhibition. And it just made me think about this topic. I thought it'd be a good topic to discuss because I hear it a lot from artists who are earlier in the journey when they have these ideas. They seem to tend to run after them.
Mm-hmm.
And then another one and they run after that and then another one and they run after that. And as we get more creative, the ideas come more and more. And how do we filter through them and kind of when do we filter through them? And am I right to have done what I did? And all of this conversation I thought would be a good thing to talk about.
I think it's interesting. And you mentioned that this is an idea that's been hovering around, you know, for a while. And that's one of the things actually that I noticed at the weekend is it was interesting when people were coming and they were looking through sketchbooks and then they were looking at paintings. And it's only looking backwards that you can see when ideas came up and it can have been a tiny little thing in a sketchbook and then somehow it comes out in a painting later. I think these ideas hover and they do stay around for a long while. I tell you what I'm thinking as you're talking, you're excited about this now and it feels like you're slightly pushing it away because you feel like it's a separate thing and you shouldn't be doing it now. You should be staying focused. And I think that's a different thing from people who are hop, skip and jumping on lots of different things at the same time, lots of different directions and can't make up their mind. And I think, or rather just, you know, like doing lots of different things. And I it's definitely helpful to take a pause and go, no, hang on a minute. I really need to, I'm going to get more mileage. I'm going to be able to go deeper in this if I don't try and do everything, if I go in a clear direction with my work. But when you're talking about it, you're excited about it. And I'm just wondering, do you really need to hold back from it? Does it have to be a separate thing? How do these collage things relate to the landscape? That's what I want to know when I'm looking at what I see you do on Instagram.
They don't. And they're totally unrelated. And that was the point all along, was that I love when you get up to a painting and you start seeing things in it that you're trying to figure out, but they don't make sense. So I want textures and things coming through that are surprising and contrasty to what should be there. So it should be a landscape. I remember I had an exhibition years ago and I was using collage in a painting, or I was in a group show, sorry. I was using collage in some of the paintings and the lady curating came over and said, she was a bit up herself actually. And she said, yes, these are lovely and I like the use of collage, but it'd be much better if the text was something about kind of farming in North Yorkshire and the plight of farmers. And I said, but I didn't want that. I wanted it to not make sense. I want it to actually be something that your brain's trying to unravel and make sense of, but it doesn't make sense. And she kind of went, oh, and walked away because she was expecting me to say, oh, thank you. So they're meant not to relate.
Right.
That's the surprise. And that's what gives it the interest in the background when I sand it back. And it really worked in that big one. There's some surprising shapes that come through, which I then incorporate and I can use them. But the real excitement of it to me is when it's utterly unrelated to landscape. The ones, the little ones I'm doing that I really love, it's when the textures come through and they're just exciting for themselves. And it's balancing, I'm getting very nerdy now, but it's balancing the amount of color and tonal contrast to make the textures be able to be the star without it just being a boring sanded surface. So it's like playing with all those elements to make something.
Okay. It's the visual texture element to it rather than the content of the collage that's yes. all relevant.
Yes, it's the visual textures and they're not necessarily relevant. They're more like they provide a surprising moment in the painting that I couldn't have planned because I didn't know to do that. But often it's just the textures. When you layer paper, over paint, over paper, and then sand back, you can get some lovely edges of where the paper was. So it's sometimes it's just the edges or it's a label off a piece of clothing and the little dot from the label has stayed and everything else has gone. It's these surprising things that happen that I love. So it makes a fantastic surface. And my favorite ever painting of said before, I'm sure, is Jasper John's flag, which is in New York. And when you go up to it, you think it's just a painting of the flag. And then you go up and it's made out of, he dipped newsprint into, I think it was encaustic paint, and then made a collage out of it, didn't paint it. So you see all this newsprint in the background, but you can't read it because it's coated in red or blue paint. And it's fascinating, the surface. I could have stood there, you know, for days looking at that painting. I love that. And it must have stuck with me because that's now what I'm really enjoying in my own paintings. So I do love it as the background to a landscape and I'm really enjoying that part of it. It's not that I don't enjoy both, but you're right. I am very excited by the new idea, but it won't fit into a landscape exhibition in the North York Moors. It just won't.
Will it not though, if it's just a visual part of the texture? Why can you not let it seep in?
It looked very urban.
Did it?
It looked like it should be in a Southern Californian gallery. It didn't look like it belonged in Yorkshire.
Okay.
And you might be right. And this is the other thing about ideas like this. It might be the case that I could make something of that would fit in. But I'm on a deadline to get this done for this time scale.
So it's a distraction.
So I think it can become, I think it could pull me off trying to solve different problems. The other thing about this is about focus. I haven't yet optimized what I'm trying to do.
Yeah.
I've only made about 6 paintings with this new process that work really well.
Yeah.
So I haven't, if I go now, I've had a new idea. I'll have got so far with this, but I've only dipped my toe into what's possible. And I feel like I could make it. It's like if you said, oh, I'm going to explore fluid paint, which you said a few years ago. And then you did 3 paintings and went, okay, I'm going to try something else now. They wouldn't be as good as the ones you did a year later, still exploring the same thing. So I feel like I need to, at least for the next few months, really dive into the idea I had rather than scooting off in another direction.
Yeah, I suppose what I'm getting at is, does it have to be, I mean, you're talking about the fact that in the early stages of when you use this collage paint collage, it has a different mood and feel to it. And yet when you're painting over them with your landscape inspired marks and motifs, they do get buried. It's a difficult thing, isn't it? Because you're talking about holding an idea that excites you at arm's length, and I never feel that that's a very good way to work. Plus, May is quite a long time away from now.
Yeah, but I have to be finished with them long before May, because they'll all have to be framed, sealed, etc. So I'm going to need to be finished with this by about February for my peace of mind.
Yeah.
And I can't really get going on it till November. So I'll have November, December, January, February.
Okay.
So I totally get what you're saying. And this is a good point for people to think about for themselves. But I think both ideas excite me. And like you say, yes, a lot of this gets covered up, but then it gets revealed again when I sand again.
Yeah.
And also, if I've done it once, I can do it again. I can do it over and over and over again. I know how to reproduce those textures. What I'm doing on the smaller pieces, though, is, like I say, just learning. For example, if I cover them all with gloss medium versus I don't, what happens when I sand back a few coats later? If I put dark marks on, what happens? If I, you know, what happens with this type of paper and that type of paper, so that I can be more of a master of it when I really want to dive into it.
I just suspect it will creep in. I think if you're doing that on the side, I think it will just kind of creep in.
Yeah. And maybe I think I could see a way that these small ones could possibly be part of. It's this. This is why I don't like committing to things in advance. Because I do tend to be very much moving, and it's like I've already committed to something which is in the past. But when what I want to say about this as well is, when you're newer, I actually think, let's say you know you're a beginner, or you're just coming back to painting, or you've been at it a year or two, I actually think it's okay in that case to go between, because I've observed with the people I've helped that it's only by trying all the different things that you figure out what it is that you actually want to do. And so you can try some portraits, try some landscapes, try some abstracts, do this, do that. And often with beginner artists, and I've got some questions on my current course that I've got to answer tonight from people who are saying, is this my style? Is this my style? I've done this abstract painting. Does it look like my style? And it's like, it's too soon for you. It's okay. If I was 1 year in, I think I should pursue all these different things. But if I was 1 year in, I wouldn't have this commitment to meet. I wouldn't have this exhibition to make work for. But I think that's how you find who you are. I think beginners should be doing all sorts of things.
Yeah, I think we should always be experimenting. And it kind of comes back to, doesn't it, the different elements and the different ways that you can approach and you can look at the work. So, you know, there's what technique you're using, what materials you're using, what's relevant. There's what the subject matter is, what you're trying to say, what you want people to read from it. Yeah. And then there are all the visual things, like, how does it look? Is it striking? Is it gentle? Is it soft? Is it brightly colored? Is it high contrast? Is it quiet and low contrast with subdued, muted colors? You know, the visual elements of looking at a painting, which are very, you know, they're all interconnected, but those visual elements, you can still do a quiet, you know, a quiet, gentle, soft painting with a number of different materials. It could be really soft brushed out charcoal. It could be really lightly layered, thin watercolor, or it could be acrylic, but using all just pale shade. So how the materials feed into what you want the overall feel of the painting to be, and also how that relates to your, either your subject matter or the idea that you're circling around. That's why I'm saying I don't know, you know, if you've got something that feels more urban, that is possibly a different context, because it's going to have a very different feel for the thing that you want to create for this exhibition. But the process of using the materials and layering in this way, I think, can still contribute to what you're creating. So
yes, perhaps, totally.
Yeah,
totally. I agree. Yes, totally. And what I've realized is the reason they don't go together, the sanding collage, what they feel like to me, the little ones that I've finished, they feel like maps of a distant place. They feel like, and I see them as, there's a lot changing in my life at the moment. There's a lot of challenges and I'm trying to find my way. And it's not surprising to me that I've started to make things which feel like, I mean, you could stand in front of them for ages trying to decipher what's happening. And they do feel like maps of my mind or maps of your heart. I don't know what the term for them would be. So that's very different from what I'm trying to create in my landscape paintings.
Yeah.
And it might be that I'm going to move on from the landscapes into this.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. I'm trying to meld the two now. So in the triptych, I felt I got the perfect balance of landscape and the textures and stuff coming through without the textures taking over and turning it from not a landscape. And it's a good point you make, because I think my challenge with this one now is to find that same balance and not have it just turn into a painting with a little bit of collage showing through, but to keep the balance of the two things. And then on the side, and this is my question for everybody to think about, and it's the challenge I've got. I want to make some paintings like this. I want to go from the smaller ones to bigger ones in this new idea while I work on my exhibition. I just didn't want to do it on an 8-foot painting that I have nowhere for it to go, because that would be a bit of a waste. But I would like to make some smaller panels, maybe 6 feet by 2 feet I could manage and do that.
I just think it's an interesting way of thinking about it if you do feel you're a little bit scattered, because if you think of those three different areas, like the materials that you use, the subject or the idea, and the kind of the mood, feel, visual elements of it, I think where we feel scattered is if we've got variety maybe across all of those. Like if you're doing,
which I have, I think,
if you're doing pencil drawings of dogs and you're also doing landscapes in acrylic, that's going to be very hard to find a connection between those things. Whereas if you can find the connection between them, like you can be an artist that uses and it can cross over, you know, maybe materials and black and white is your thing. And so maybe you could use pencil and charcoal and a huge variety of scale. But if you suddenly throw something else into the mix, then it starts to feel too scattered. So I think if we can, if it starts to feel too scattered, it's probably because you've got too much variety. Whereas I guess what I'm saying to you is I suspect there's probably more of a link than you're feeling there is at the moment. And I think you just have to trust that they will feed across each other. And if you know, they're not perhaps as radically different as maybe you're concerned about. And I wouldn't worry about seeing them as two separate projects. They'll feed each other.
Yeah, I think that's true. And I think in my case, I'm comfortable. I'll have enough time to do both and to let them feed each other.
Yeah.
What do we do if we don't have that much time and we get this great idea? So let's just talk hypothetically for other people who maybe work full time and then paint, and you've got something coming up, but you get this other idea. Can you park an idea? Can you keep it on the back burner long enough? Or should you just say, you know what, the exhibition's just going to have to take whatever I make and go do that?
I think if you park an idea and it doesn't come back, it's just kind of, you know, burnt out and died sitting on the shelf. It was really not that strong for you in the first place anyway. I do think, though, that there is huge mileage in taking one area of what you're working on or one way of working and going deeper on it. So rather than being surface level on everything, giving yourself the space to really inquire into that one thing a little bit more deeply. And, you know, maybe that's a personal thing for me, but I just find that more rewarding, because it allows me more opportunity to test different ideas out in lots of different ways within something that's got parameters, within something that's got boundaries. Whereas if you hop, skip and a jump across too many different things, that's when I end up feeling really scattered and like I could end up doing work that has got nothing unites it, nothing that ties it together. And that's why working in a series is one way of thinking it. But sometimes I think that can be or people can see that as being quite limited. It doesn't have to all be the same size, for example. It doesn't have to just be the same colours. But if your idea is, maybe your idea is a cross between the idea and the visual elements that you're choosing to use, and you might want to do single colour paintings, they're not all going to be the same as each other. But if your idea is around isolation and really focusing on one painting and one colour, they're still going to feel cohesive as a set. So I think that the question, if you're feeling scattered, is what is the links between these? And if you can work out what the link is, that's going to be the thing that guides you. And I think when I was trying to do both painting and printmaking, and often these decisions come from when you're frustrated. Right. I was frustrated because printmaking was slow. I needed a lot of equipment that I didn't have. I could only go somewhere else to do it. It felt like a long time between every week. I was limited in scale, you know. I loved it, but it was like, where are the frustrations with this? And so I had to make a decision to say, okay, I'm going to ditch that, focus on the painting, but I'm going to bring back the elements that I like. So if you can identify what those different areas are that you're working on, you know, where do you feel good and excited about the work that you're doing, and where has it become a bit humdrum? That's your decision about which one you leave behind.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's a very different thing from I'm excited about two different things, which one do I follow? Yeah. I'm excited about two different things, which one do I follow? I think the answer is kind of you do both until one wins out.
Yeah.
And there's your answer.
And that's what your advice to me was a few years ago, and it worked. And as you say, the idea came back. So it re-emerged 3 years later. So it didn't go anywhere, but I did park it. And I was relieved at the time. I knew it was the right thing. Once I started, I was like, oh, okay, this is the right thing. And I think if you do you remember we talked about Seth Godin's book about going down cul-de-sacs?
Yeah. So
if I'd started the Ted Hughes project and a few months in just become bored with it, then I would have known, oh, that was just a cul-de-sac. I thought it was a road, but it wasn't. So I turn around and come back. And I think often people at an earlier stage of their art career think that's a problem. They feel like they have to press on. Okay, but I said I was going to do this, so I've got to keep doing it. And there's a challenging thing of identifying, am I just jumping away from something because I can't be bothered to put the effort in?
Yeah, or because it's got hard.
Has it really just died for me? And there's no bringing it back to life. I could beat it and beat it with a stick and it's never coming back to life.
And I think that we do that, and that's a problem too. And I think that often happens with individual paintings, is that you're doing something, you're working something out, you're not quite sure where it's going to go, you're figuring it out. And when you get to a stage where you think, oh, I'm not sure what I'm doing with this, people leave it. And they walk away from that stage without going to the next stage where you learn how you resolve it. That's how you're going to get better at things. So it's a difficult thing. Like, when do you push through? And I don't think you should push through if you've completely lost all interest. I think it has to go back to, where is your interest in this? But there is also a danger in always saying to yourself, oh, this is never going to go anywhere, I'm going to stop. This is never going to go anywhere, I'm going to stop. There is a satisfaction and learning that comes from making yourself complete something, getting to an end point with it, and then going, okay, what now?
Yes. And that's a bit how I feel about this landscape project. And I was thinking, it's the situation I'm in with this exhibition is a bit like people will be in if they've, say, committed to commissions,
yeah,
or if they make commercial art and they have to do certain things by certain deadlines, but they've got this burning desire to do something completely different. And I really think that's going back to this idea of a side project. It's like you have to somehow find the time within your day or your week to do a little bit on your side project that excites you. Otherwise, the thing you're doing that you have to do is going to become really cumbersome.
Yeah.
And dull.
For some people, it works. I mean, we've talked about with yours, the fact that they might feed into each other. Mm. For some people, it works better to keep them as two totally separate things. Like if one is your job, you're making something that or stock or people are expecting it, keep your thing private and personal and very separate. That's the solution that works for some people, for definite.
Yeah. So if you're one of those people who's right at the early stages and you're saying, yeah, but I'm all over the place. I love doing everything.
Yeah.
But I want a body of work to put on a website and I want to start selling my paintings. And so that's the situation I often find people in. And I never had that because I always was kind of drawn to landscape. So even though I dabbled in other things, I never really had this problem. Do you think it's correct that people should try? I'm saying try everything and then see which one leads you somewhere. But sometimes I suggest to people, it's okay to try everything, but try everything for like a certain period of time. Mm. Give something 6 weeks or a month, or set yourself an amount of time where you're not going to go off and do everything. You're just going to do that one thing and see if it develops into something. Because otherwise I think you can run the risk of never developing anything. But then I'm thinking, yeah, but you need to do everything in order to find out what your thing is.
Well, firstly, I don't think it ever is everything. I think there are usually, even people who say, oh, I'm doing everything, they're probably not doing everything. There probably is some common ground between the different things that they are doing. So I think recognizing that helps. But yes, I agree with you. I think set a time limit on it. Give yourself 3 months to explore, then make a decision. And then decide which one you'll have some experience in that. You'll know which direction you want to spend more time working in and working on and taking to a group of work that feels a little bit more complete. Maybe that's my sort of background of feeling of things that are a little bit more project orientated, having a beginning and an end to it. But there is a certain satisfaction in doing that. And I think just building in maybe those time points where you go, yeah, I'm going to explore, but, and this is maybe the important thing, when you're in that stage where you're exploring lots of different things, it could be anything goes. I'm going to do this for 2 months, 3 months, whatever you decide that is relevant for you. But in that time, you don't worry about what's your style? Is a gallery going to be interested? Any of that kind of stuff. You've got to let go of those while you're in that stage of exploring, then stop, then have a look at them all, and then think, okay, what's the next stage for me? And I just think recognizing those two, that they're different points, they're different decisions that you're making for different reasons. And if you understand your reason for working the way you are, then it's easier to go, okay, I'm not going to think about all of those things that could distract me and set me off worrying about it at the moment. So that's kind of how I feel about it. And I think it is important that when we're doing the work, we're involved in what we're interested in doing the work, and we're not thinking about galleries or endpoints, or that can come into it later. That comes into it when you're choosing which pieces you're going to show, or which pieces you're actually going to get framed, or which pieces you're going to stick in the bottom drawer and we're only learning for you, whatever it is. That's a separate stage. At the beginning, it's like, what do I really want to explore here? How long am I going to do that for before I stop and take that kind of backward step and think about it? That's how I approach it.
Yeah, and the one last thing I wanted to say about this is I do know of artists, quite a few artists, who have two very different avenues that they do successfully and that they present separately. And we've talked about this before, but this is possible too. So you might be someone who does portraits and abstracts, and you just are landscapes and ceramics that have some, I was thinking of Lewis mm-hmm. Noble, he does his landscapes and he does ceramics which have kind of a landscapey feel to them. So that's possible, but mm-hmm. just knowing that they're two very that you're going to work on both and you're going to have to find a balance for when you're going to do which, and
yeah.
and you're going to have to present them very clearly as two separate things.
Yeah.
I think that's fine as well. I personally struggle a bit because I get a bit obsessed with what I'm doing, but I know people who do that very successfully.
I haven't seen his ceramics, but I can imagine them.
They're gorgeous, actually. And
yeah, and when, I bet they've got quite a lot of crossover from his painting, though.
They do, and he's yeah. only just learning, apparently. So yeah. when I had him on in my membership group, I asked him about them because someone said, how does he get these effects? They're gorgeous. And he said, because I don't know what I'm doing. And yeah. he's trading art lessons with a ceramicist or something, and he was learning. But they're very earthy and... yeah, they're very similar.
Yeah.
But he's just learning how to do it, but they're stunning, you know, and they're on his website as two separate things.
So that's the link then, isn't it? So, you know, yeah. they're separate in terms of materials, but colours they're linked,
the same, yeah.
they're linked in terms of visual elements, like the yeah. way he makes marks, the colours he uses, and his interpretation of what he sees around him that inspires him. So
yeah.
some links and some separates. I'm just going to leave anybody with a recommendation, perhaps. Now, I read this book quite a long time ago, but it might be worth going to have a look if you feel this is you. And more to the point, if you feel this is you, this kind of scattered approach is you to the point that it bothers you or you find it frustrating as a way that, you know, just is it just your personality and how do you make the most of this? And this is a term called scanners, which was invented, coined, I don't know where it came from, by a writer called Barbara Scher. And she wrote a book called Refuse to Choose. And it was quite a long time ago that I read it. So I can't give you any specific pointers from it because I've forgotten. My memory is not that good 10 years on. But I think it's very helpful in terms of understanding your own thought processes, if that's part of you, and when you should get to this point where do you need to make a decision about something? Is it going to be helpful for you to limit what you do? And understanding perhaps how all these different sides of what you do and different facets can feed into, you know, a busy creative life. Because actually sometimes if we shut off too many things, you know, we lose some of the things that give us our buzz. So book recommendation, Refuse to Choose by Barbara Scher. Have a look and see if that's up your street. Okay, so what's inspired then? And this week, I just want to talk a little bit about what's inspired is three people, really. But the thing that links them all together is this idea of being where you are in the journey and being okay with that and just trusting that you just follow it. Actually, if you just follow what we've been talking about, what your direction is, work at it, follow your enthusiasm. And the things that have inspired this week are at almost completely different ends of the spectrum. So I've got two artists in Connective Club who've been there since the beginning. And one has a painting in the Saatchi Gallery this week, and it has been absolutely joyous watching her unabridged reveling enthusiasm in it. I mean, really, really incredible. Her name's Faye Bridgewater without an E. And if you don't follow her on Instagram, go and have a look, because again, just this sort of joyful exuberance in what she does has really carried her. But to watch how she has grown over the past few years has been incredible. And then another artist in there who, again, was a new artist and has just sold painting for a five-figure sum, which is just extraordinary. And I think it's incredible. But what's also important to remember when you're looking at people like that is that both of those things, I think we probably all look at and go, oh, that's amazing. And there's a little bit of us that goes, oh, I want that for me. they're their own routes, they're their own journeys, and they come a long way down the line as a result of doing what you love to do and just putting your whole kind of spirit and soul into it. And equally inspiring is not just about kind of hitting massive great big milestones like that, although I think they absolutely need celebrating, is I really loved, I saw Catherine Palmer's Needham, and she's on Instagram, Catherine Palmer's Needham _art. She shared a little color sketchbook that she had done with colors, collage, and it was just a beautiful thing that clearly is a real source of inspiration for her. And also, again, this point of following something that you enjoy and getting almost to, you know, to the end of it, and then you've got this beautiful object that you use that inspires you. And I think both ends of the spectrum, we should treat both the same. I think they're fantastic, and that's what's inspired me this week.
I think for me this week, on a similar note, really, it's so I've started the second of my courses, and this is where people from the first course can continue on. And I begin to guide them into working independently on their own ideas. Mm. I'm setting assignments, I'm giving lessons, but the assignments are pretty much, you know, you go explore your idea and then come back and share what you've learned. And it's really inspiring to see that we did 10 weeks of the first course, and some of the students already in week one of the second course are beginning to work like, I tell them, like, you're working like a proper artist now. You're asking yourself questions, and then you're going and trying to solve them for yourself. And then you're sharing work in the Facebook group that's not perfect and saying, I didn't get it right, but what I was trying to do is this, and what I'm going to try next is this, and see if that works. And that is really exciting to see, because I know that for those people, at the end of the 6 weeks, they'll be off and running, and they won't need any more classes. They can go off and explore their own ideas from now on. And then for the ones who are still struggling, it's only week one, so some people are still kind of saying, are we supposed to be doing this? I'm a bit confused. Am I supposed to be, what am I, am I doing it right? And it's just gently, constantly nudging them to say, I don't know, are you? Like, what are you exploring? And do you feel like you're getting anywhere? Not, well, what you're supposed to be doing is three sheets of paper this size, mm-hmm. and then you're supposed to get these colors. And then, you know, there's still some people still looking a little bit for that. And that's perfectly natural, because I've got a journey of 6 weeks to get them to the other end. But it's really exciting to see the ones that already have set off on that. And I know that because I see past students, like the ones who are in the gallery, I know that they will keep now exploring and doing their own thing. And yeah, it's just, I find it inspiring. It always, I think the teaching is a big inspiration to me to keep going, because I see that what I say is actually true. If you follow what you're excited about, if you just keep following that and do and trust yourself, magical things can happen. And so, yeah, it keeps me going.
It's a lovely thing in a way that there isn't an end to it, isn't there?
Yeah. Yeah.
It can be whatever you want it to be. And I think that's a challenging thought for some people. It's quite
I want to get to the end.
Yes.
We've talked about Abraham Hicks before, and I was listening to her this morning, him, they, it, whatever. And she was saying to somebody who wanted something in life, do you just want to get to the end? Like, do you just want to get the thing? And then how long do you think that would actually keep you happy for? Or do you want the journey, and do you want to enjoy it all unfolding? And I was thinking how much like our art that is, you know, if you got to the end, if you made perfect paintings every time you went in and everything worked out, then what?
Yeah.
We don't want to get to the end. We want it to be never ending.
Okay, that's it from us this week. Just one more thing to mention before I go. I didn't know that it was going to happen, but last week's episode came out at the same time that I was a guest on Helen Perry's podcast. Her podcast is called Hashtag Just Bloody Post It. And I didn't know that it was coming out on Tuesday. So if you didn't listen last week to hers, go over and have a listen. She is very inspirational in helping business owners show up with what they do online on Instagram. I love the way that she does things. And it was a really lovely conversation about sort of being yourself and finding your own way. So have a little listen to that. If you want to find out what we're doing, Louise is at @LouiseFletcher_art on Instagram, and I am at Alice Sheridan Studio. And we will see you next week. Have a great week, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye.